Welcome back to News from the Castle. Another week, another set of Disney news articles discussed by arguably your three favorite people in the world. I said arguably, okay? I'm Dempsey, co-host, first and foremost, and editor-in-chief of the Diz Insider, second most. You could toss up whatever you want to do. But I'm, once again, co-host, because I'm joined here by my two favorite people in the world, at least for like the next 40 minutes or so. Amber and Jordan, what's up? Welcome.
Hi. Yes, I'm here again. I don't plan on breaking my attendance streak anymore, so you can hear my lovely voice for the foreseeable future.
So wait, Amber, you changed. Was your last name a hyphen? Is it completely changed?
No.
What's your last name now?
My last name is now Olkers.
Olkers?
Spell it for me. Yes. Olkers.
All right. Olkers.
Yeah. It's very German. I was thinking about hyphenating, but then A, Conahan Olkers is just way too long. And B, my initials would have been Arco, and I don't feel like being cheap gas. So.
I get it. And Jordan, your last name's still the same? Nothing's changed in the past week?
I haven't got married in the past few days, sadly.
Oh, okay. We'll update you guys next week. I don't know what's going on in Jordan's life, but no. Just kidding, obviously. I don't know. I feel like this was like a lightish kind of week, aside from like Obi-Wan Kenobi ending, which I know Amber, she said she knows everything that happens, but for her sake, we're not going to go too heavy into it. I just want to ask Jordan, what did you think about the finale or the series as a whole?
I think the finale was the best episode, and the series was kind of meh. Is Amber being attacked by a cat?
I was gonna say, yeah, I'm so sorry. Over there.
I muted myself and everything, but yes, my cat just jumped up on the back of the couch and scared the crap out of me. But all is fine.
You guys missed it. It was hilarious.
I just slowly realized that what was happening at the bottom screen.
She's mouthing the words "help." No, I'm
just saw her being attacked by like a rabid animal.
Oh my god! Yeah, that's my fault.
I thought the series was okay. I didn't think it was anything special, but the last episode I thought was fantastic.
I kind of agree with you. I feel like it was mostly filler. But was it necessary filler? There were some things that were established that I feel like make you appreciate A New Hope even more, like the Star Wars series as a whole, because once again, we know why Leia named her son Ben, why she specifically asked to be saved by Obi-Wan Kenobi. We know why the phrasing of why Obi-Wan said that Darth Vader killed Luke's father. We know, like, that stuff was interesting. Why he refers to him as Darth, while he's become known in pop culture as Vader. I could say I do think they're going to make something else after this, like not a sequel, but something kind of adjacent. I think that's the purpose of Reva's character. And there's no way that they don't bring back O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s character again. That blatant line, "Oh, I'm just getting started." I was like smiling, but cringing at the same time. I was like, I mean, the same thing could be said about every single one of these characters that this show introduced. Those are my thoughts. It was okay. You probably hear my for background, if you guys do hear, like, I have a fire alarm that's dying. And it's not one of the regular fire alarms where I could just take it off and throw it against the wall or change the batteries. It's like drilled into my system with like wires, the ceiling. So even though I changed the batteries, it's still telling me it's dead. Sorry, that's just really random, but that's my life right now. So I apologize if you hear it. I'm going to get it fixed at some point, but yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It was okay. Amber, I cannot wait for you to see it. I cannot wait for you to
It's going to be a hot minute, because I got to finish Clone Wars, and so I can get all the... Okay, I know that we don't need Clone Wars. Chris thinks that we need Clone Wars to watch Obi-Wan and Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett and stuff. So I need to finish seasons 4 through 7 of Clone Wars before I can do everything else.
There's some insane stuff that happens in this series that just makes me like question whether or not Clone Wars is even necessary. There's a character who may or may not die. I that's all I'm going to say. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not questioning the continuity, but it's just a lot at this point. There's so many different characters to follow, and I don't know. Yeah, you watch it at your own discretion. I know you also got to check up with Only Murders in the Building because season 2 is coming out this week, right? Please tell me you're going to do
that. Yes, okay. And I saw the trailer, and it looked really, really good. And so I might bump it up on my list of stuff to watch, but it's taking a while. We got a lot. I just barely showed Chris League of Extraordinary Gentlemen this morning, so you know, things are a long time coming.
Wait, the movie?
Yes.
You like that movie?
I love that movie. It's so good. It's so bad. Okay, but here's the thing. I like those kind of movies. I love Twister and Congo and Anaconda and like all those kind of really bad like 90s, early 2000s types of, that's my bread and butter. So like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, that I love that friggin' movie. So if I'm barely showing him stuff from like the late 90s, it's going to be a minute before I get caught up on everything else. I feel like
that movie had so much potential. The comic books are awesome. I've read a couple, but the problem with that movie really was that they were trying to make Sean Connery an action hero again. And that guy was like way past that age.
He was already ancient. And like, they tried to do so many different styles in one. That's why I'm excited for the new like reboot or whatever they're doing on Hulu. So I'm like, oh, modern, like, I don't care if they make it modern day or whatever, but just a new adaption of it, I think it's gonna be so much better.
It's gonna be like Once Upon a Time, like a gritty once. That's because that's what it is. They have like, they run into like characters like Alice in Wonderland and stuff like that in the
That's freaking sick. It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be gritty, yeah. Absolutely.
But then I found out that the person who did the screenplay for Morbius is writing it, so now I'm just scared.
Okay. Oh. So it's good. So we're gonna have a crossover. Is that what you're hoping? It's gonna be Morbin time.
No, I don't need more Jared Leto on my screen. I don't need more. It's not Morbin time. Everybody, stop with the memes.
So wait, you don't want them to bring it back to theaters again because we were busy that one weekend? Did you see
so
that petition?
Stupid. That was so stupid. Oh my god.
I still have yet to see Morbius. But
don't waste your time.
But Jordan insists that it was watchable. So
it's watchable. That's not a good thing that it's watchable.
Whatever. No. Whatever. We'll get to it. Maybe we should watch it and review it for the podcast. That would be fun.
We should do like a live stream.
Oh, yeah, that would be
a watch party of Morbius.
A Morbius watch party. Oh my god. When I get my fire alarm fixed, for sure. For sure. But okay, we're gonna jump into real news now. And this is kind of big, and it kind of links to Lucasfilm with Star Wars and whatnot. Did you guys hear John Williams is planning on retiring after the 5th Indiana Jones movie?
Oh, I'm really sad, but I mean, he's like 90 something, so yeah. It wasn't too surprising.
I was going to be like, I feel like this is a long time coming, and this is like probably a good film to go out on. It's going to be so big. It doesn't even matter if it's good or not, but it's just going to be so big and like monumental that it just makes the most sense to go out with a bang like this one.
And you know, because he's so old and it's his last film, that's like a guaranteed Oscar nomination.
Oh, yeah.
100% Oscar bait. Here we go.
It's starting right now. The campaign for Indiana Jones, it started this week, guys. Now, my biggest thing, I don't know if you guys saw the article or read the original article that it was based on, but in it, William says something very interesting that nobody else has kind of picked up on or spoken about. It says that Harrison Ford... Well, John Williams in the interview says Harrison Ford, who's quite a bit younger than I am, I think he's announced that this will be his last film. So I thought if he can do it, then perhaps I can do it too. It being retiring. Do you think this could be Indiana Jones' last film? There are rumblings that Phoebe Waller-Bridge might take over the reins of the franchise. Or do you think that there is no Indiana Jones without Harrison Ford?
I feel like there shouldn't be an Indiana Jones after Harrison Ford. I just also feel like we don't need any more Indiana Jones stories. This universe is kind of, it might be a little bit played out. I mean, Yeah, I mean, I would have maybe liked a little bit more if they decided to make Mutt like an actual character or did something with like his son or someone directly related to
They
him. But I
tried
don't know if
to,
I
but
care
that was
about.
like,
Yeah, and I
Shia
mean, and it was Shia LaBeouf who's just, I don't think I can explain what's going on with Shia LaBeouf
I don't
nowadays
think Shia
anyway.
LaBeouf can explain what's going on with Shia LaBeouf, for the record, but
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like this should probably be the end of Indiana Jones. Let it rest for a while, and then maybe when I'm like 50, we can see about bringing it back.
I think the fact that not even Spielberg returned to this one, not saying anything about Mangold, because I think Mangold is a hell of a director, like one of the most underrated and I think most recently appreciated directors. But I do think, I agree with you. I think there should not be a franchise without Harrison Ford. And I think that Williams might have low-key given us some like news without really meaning to give us news. It's no secret Harrison Ford is old as hell. How many plane crashes has he gotten in on his own?
I feel like he's just kind of over everything. I was surprised that
Yes,
he
yes.
even came back for this one, so it makes perfect sense that he would also go out on this.
I thought that he was done with, like, when he appeared in the Expendables, I was like,
I
bro.
forgot he was in that. Oh my God.
Jordan, are you an Indiana Jones fan at all?
Yes,
You look so
and
unfazed by this news.
I slightly disagree with what you said. I think it should continue, but as a Disney Plus animated series.
Why animated?
I just think they've never done one. I just think it'd be interesting because, I
It's
mean,
interesting.
Harrison Ford, not to sound ageist, but he's a bit past his prime for Indiana Jones. And I think without recasting or going like doing a younger movie with like a hot young guy, I think the best way forward is in like an animated form. It could be like a fun Disney afternoon sort of special kind of thing.
So
That's
you don't
like
want to.
so weird, but also kind of
It could
very
work.
cool.
It could work. I do think there is a way to do this, and the only way to do it really is to go back, because the franchise is called Indiana Jones. You can't like say an Indiana Jones story. You know what I'm saying? You can't do like a spin-off with and just keep the name for the sake of the franchise. I do think the only way to do it is with a younger version. Like Han Solo, we don't know what he did between part three and part four. So there are so many years there to explore. And I think it would make an interesting series on Disney Plus or a prequel, whatever they want to do. Animated though, I think I like that because the limits of it, there is no limit to animation. So they could do a lot more with that. That being said though, that is our hearts go out to John Williams. We cannot wait to see what he does with this. Imagine his last score. He's definitely poor. Film score, I should say, because it is mentioned that he's still going to do like other stuff in the after his retirement from film. But like his last film score, oh, this is going to be one for the books. Very exciting. Cannot wait to see what he does. Moving on though, to another, the Disney's other major studio, Marvel Studios. We understand that earlier this month it was announced, I think through Big Screen Leaks, he said that he had heard that Marvel Studios was not going to be appearing at Comic-Con. They were kind of hoping on releasing everything at D23. Last Friday, it was announced that Marvel Studios is actually coming to Comic-Con after all. And according to Collider specifically, they said that it's going to be the Saturday night Hall H panel. As always, but they're only bringing one movie, but they're going big with it. Thor will have already come out by then. Thor will have already come out by then, and Black Panther is the last movie for the rest of the year. So, I mean, take what you want from that statement, but I think either fans are going to get treated to a very special sneak peek of Black Panther or something else. What do you guys think of this?
I think they might announce who the new Black Panther is if they're going big.
No shot. No shot. I
No
don't think
way.
so.
That's gonna be left like to the movie.
Yes.
Do you reckon?
Because I feel like it's gonna be like the last scene of the movie is gonna be someone like putting on the helmet or putting on the necklace or something to officially take up the mantle. I think it's going to be drawn out throughout the whole damn thing, whether it's going to be like M'Baku or Shuri or Nakia or like somebody's
that's going to get people into the theater because you won't know going into the movie.
I never even thought of it like that. I guess maybe that is right.
Yeah, that's like the mystery of the film, I guess. And I'm pretty sure the trailer's only going to beef it up too. You're not going to be able to tell.
But like, to me, if they want to plan, if they're going big, I feel like Black Panther 2 doesn't really fit that bill. I don't know why. I'm just not as excited for Black Panther 2. I don't really care about this one in the grand scheme of all the rest of what Marvel is doing. It just doesn't feel like, ever since Chadwick passed away, I'm like, I don't really know what I want for the future of this character in this specific franchise. And I don't really, like, I guess maybe it would be a big one because other people care, but I just really don't.
All right. I got a prediction. This is what they're going to do. I think they have to do something with Black Panther because, like I said, the panel takes place, I think, 1 week out from Thor. So they are not going to be doing any Thor stuff. I'm going to tell you, they are going to go big, but not big to our standards because what we do in the news, what we've been doing for the past 2 years while the movie's been filmed, before it was filmed, we've been speculating. They're going to announce that Namor is going to be in the movie because that has not been like officially stated by Marvel, right?
That makes sense.
The trades have been, they're going to say, oh, guess who's going to be in Black Panther? Namor. And they're going to announce Tina Huerta as Namor. They'll probably give us a first look because that's already, they're going to give us stuff that we already have. That is Marvel Studios going bad. Don't expect them to talk about who the big rumor of the film is. Dr. Doom might pop up. And once again, I want to emphasize that's a major rumor, nothing official, but that is like the big rumor that everybody's talking about. And we're going to get it. Well, they're definitely going to have a trailer. A trailer will be revealed, but it's going to be an exclusive Comic-Con only trailer that will not end up online until maybe a week or after. Or I'm trying to think of anything else Marvel related. Well, it's just Thor. They don't really have anything else coming out until Black Panther. Maybe the re-release for Spider-Man in September, they'll probably have it. But I would be surprised. And once again, none of this is official. This is just my speculation. I'll be surprised if it ends up online that same weekend. I'm like, officially, because I know there'll probably be a leaked trailer somewhere. What do you guys think?
I was just thinking, Namor's from Atlantis, yeah?
Yes.
Correct. Which I think is going to be like Mayan-inspired.
Haven't they set up Wakanda as being a landlocked country? How are they involved in Atlantis?
I think there is... You're saying landlocked?
Yeah, as in it's surrounded on all sides by other land. There's no water touching any of it. So how would it connect to Atlantis whatsoever? If it has no history with water.
But at the end, I get what you're saying, and I understand that, but there is...
Maybe I'm looking into it too much. I'm sure they have a reasonable connection.
But oh, of course.
Just thinking while you were talking about Namor. It's like, how do they know Namor?
Well, when Michael B. Jordan's character dies, aren't they looking off into, like, the sea? And he's like, bury me in the sea with my ancestors.
Or... I don't think they're looking off to the sea. I don't know. I have to watch that movie again.
They're near a body of water. Maybe Wakanda's on top of Atlantis. Maybe Atlantis wants to come back.
Oh, it has sunk. Yeah, it has sunk.
So I mean, anything is possible. It will be interesting to see how they come together. But I'm most excited to see how apparently vibranium is like the big thing again. So how are you going to make vibranium exciting? Obviously, we know everybody wants it. But why does Atlantis want it?
Introduce adamantium.
Ooh, that would be sick. That would be sick. But judging by what we know already and what Collider seems to have known already, I would say it's safe to say they'll give us Black Panther for sure. They have to. Otherwise, why else are they coming? They're not coming to promote anything else. Maybe She-Hulk? A special look at She-Hulk, potentially?
Oh, that makes sense, because She-Hulk comes out
in August.
Like, mid-August, right? Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. I think they'll give us everything out for the rest of the year. D23, though, I think that will be where we get phase five, phase four and a half, phase five, whatever the hell they're calling it now.
Did you see what Kevin Feige talking about John Krasinski as Reed Richards?
I did see that. That he wanted to give them.
He was like, it's an alternate universe so we can give the fans what they want.
So pretty much all but confirming that John Krasinski, I think he's seen.
I was like, thank God.
Same. I'm so with you on that. I don't want him
as our main Reed at all.
Had he killed it, it would have been a different quote, a very different quote, saying, yeah, you know, and we're casting the rest of the Fantastic Four. No, I'm glad. I would love to see him return, though. Council of Reeds, once again. Yeah, I think that would be sick.
That'd be sick.
But that's it. That's all we have on that. Once again, we're gonna be a D23. We're gonna be all over this, and we will absolutely be having special coverage come July 19th for this. I cannot wait. I know I'm not gonna get any sleep. It's gonna be insane trying to keep up with all this news. But we know whatever Marvel has in store for us is gonna be exciting. No matter what. On the subject of Marvel, another thing I saw this week, Deadpool. Deadpool seems to be ramping up. It's like this is like the third week in a row that there's like some brand new news on it. This time, the writers who also helmed that movie, I just saw it, Spider-Head, not good.
Is that the new Chris Hemsworth one on Netflix? Everyone's saying it's so bad.
It's weird. It's like predictable and weird, and the performances are great. Chris Hemsworth is always good whenever he's a psychopath because he's playing against his type. Miles Teller, really good. I love everything he's done this year. Top Gun, The Offer, the guy's on a roll, and Journey Smollett, love her in anything. But the script is just bad. Apparently it's based on a book, I believe. So maybe that's why it's a little bit off. Maybe it didn't translate well. But regardless, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick are coming back to Deadpool 3, and they were quoted again this week speaking on the Bro Bibles post-credit podcast, saying that they have not seen Morbius yet. You know, we were just talking about it, neither have we, except for Jordan. I don't know why, crazy man. But they're saying that because of all the awareness Morbius is get, they promise that they're gonna have to write a joke relating to Morbius in the movie. And then they also said that the movie is going to be a fish out of water movie, which kind of supports what we've been talking about a lot here, how he's just going to, he's kind of going to be aware that he does not belong in the MCU. So what do you guys think of that?
Sorry, my cat. He chose that exact second to meow at me, and I was gonna like lean back and try and pet him, and I was hoping Jordan was gonna cover me.
I saw you were gonna say something, so I wasn't sure if to go ahead or not.
She's talking to her cat.
Sorry, Paul, required my attention. No, I think this is, you know, it makes sense to just kind of drop him in the MCU and then be like, oh, shit, I don't belong here. Like, what am I supposed to do now? I think the whole thing's just going to be really fun. And I've been wanting him in the MCU proper for a long time now. So I don't care what they do. If the whole movie is Morbius jokes while he's just walking around and pointing at different like MCU like places in New York, I'd be totally fine with that. So
I would love, here's a pitch. If by any chance the writers are listening, Morbius cameo where he sees Deadpool and he's like, you don't belong here. And Deadpool's like, neither do you, you know, I think that'd be great. That would be fantastic. I really hope they push the envelope with this. At this point, I'm just going to stop expecting, though, because I feel like it's going to happen with every other project. You start to expect so much in your head that when you finally see it, it's not as satisfying as what you kind of thought. Wishful thinking, I believe, is what it's called. But Deadpool's coming. It seems like I said, every other week we're getting news. So I would not be surprised if by the end of the year, we either got an update at D23 or casting or some other major details. There's no way that this movie does not start filming by the end of this year or at the beginning of next year. I'm excited. Anyway, speaking of Morbius and Sony and all that cool stuff, you guys see that Kraven the Hunter news that came out this week?
I didn't read the whole thing because I was like, oh, Kraven, I don't really, whatever. Something about like he's an animal lover? instead of a hunter? And then, like, are they making him like an anti-hero rather than just a villain?
Here's the thing. I don't know, Amber. I'm confused as hell. Remember those photos that surfaced like a few months ago? Wasn't he like, didn't he have like animal feet? Right?
Yes. They were like some weird big ass, like Bigfoot hobbit feet.
So is he going to be like, if they're making him an animal lover, are they also insinuating, is he like part animal?
I would hate that, but I bet they are.
I think that's what they, like, just thinking about this. So the full story, just so you, if you guys don't know, Aaron Taylor Johnson was speaking with Variety this week, and he spoke and he teased that Kraven the Hunter, which is his name in the comics, is going to be an anti-hero, which we kind of figured, because, you know, he's not going to be the villain of this movie. He's going to go up against another villain. But he said that, quote, Kraven will be an animal lover and protector of the natural world, which seems like the total opposite of everything this character has ever been. The character's also been for sport, hunting animals for sport, trying to be the best, trying to catch them all, like Ash Ketchum, yeah. Including Spider-Man. But this is not...
Maybe he's like a hunter of poachers or something, and he's known as like, you know, all those them kind of poacher baddies, big bad or something. I don't know. That's the frustrating part with making all these movies with the villains as the main character is like, oh, well, you can't just have them be a strict bad guy because no one wants to watch that. Like, they want someone they can root for. But then when you have to change their origin like this, it's like, what's the point? Nobody asked for this movie in the first place, and now you're changing him from the way he is in the comics. That's just not going to make anybody happy.
I think it worked for Morbius, but not in, I haven't seen Morbius, once again, for like the fifth time I'm saying it, but I think the reason why it should have worked for Morbius is because that character has a very interesting history with how he's gone from being a bad guy to like anti-hero. He's even a part of this group, I forget the name of it, but in the Marvel Zombies comics, they're like the group. I think they might be a version of the Midnight Suns, if I'm not mistaken, where he teams up with Jack Russell, who is Werewolf by Night, Howard the Duck, and a couple of other people to fight the zombies. So he's like that interesting gray area character. Kraven the Hunter I've only ever known as a villain. I know he's teamed up with Spider-Man on some occasions in the comics, but this is a drastic change. Like, the guy is literally known as Kraven the Hunter, not Kraven the Lover. So I'm very interested to see how they're going to pull this off. The cast, like, in this, it blows my mind. Okay. Fred Hechinger, Alessandro Nivola, what's the other guy's name who was just in that movie with, where's the cast list for this damn movie? I just had it in front of me. Hold on.
Who's Fred? Who's the Fred guy?
Hold on. I'm gonna tell
is
you
he right the now. One from White Lotus.
Yes.
Oh, the boy, the teenage mm-hmm. boy. Oh, yes.
Hold on. Let's start from the beginning. The cast in this is insane. So it's like, I'm absolutely going to see this movie. Aaron Taylor Johnson, as we all know, Ariana DeBose, Russell Crowe, Fred Hechinger, who in The White Lotus. And he was also in probably the best part of that Amy Adams movie, The Woman in the Window. Alessandro Nivola, who's just finally now getting like his time after the Sopranos spinoff, or prequel rather. Christopher Abbott, like, this cast is insane. Levi Miller, who's Pan in that forgettable Peter Pan.
Really good Pan film.
The one with Tiger Lily and Hugh Jackman. Yeah, it was great. This movie is like so like irresistible. But I have a feeling Sony's meddling is going to ruin it. That's all I'm saying.
What is Ariana doing in this film?
She's like the love interest.
Calypso.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's she doing in this film? She just won an Oscar. She should be doing such better stuff.
Yeah.
Because this film,
I think she just got excited when she heard like Marvel, even though it's Sony, is still like Marvel adjacent. And I think that's enough to kind of like be like, ooh, yeah. Well, and because now we've seen that people can be in like Sonyverse, and because Russell Crowe's in this, right? And he's not playing Zeus.
Yeah, that is a good point. He's
seeing that
father, I believe. Yeah. And also it's directed by J.C. Shandor, who is really good. I've loved all of his movies. All Is Lost is a classic. So,
so then I guess, like, if you're in this kind of a little Sony film, that kind of gets your foot in the door to being in the MCU proper.
Maybe.
Like, I don't think Matt Smith wanted to just stop at Morbius, you know?
No. Oh, poor guy.
Maybe that's what Sony wants. I don't think that's the case, though. But whatever. Regardless, we just hope that they do the character justice. I don't know how that's going to happen. We'll just have to see with everything nowadays. But Sony, please don't screw this up. We don't need another Morbius. And I'm hearing...
Or another Venom 2. That was such a garbage fire.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love the Venom films.
I actually, unironically, really love the first Venom movie. Chris and I watch it all the time. I think it's a boatload of fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Venom 2 is so bad.
I just like how gay they are. Like, that's my favorite part.
That's true.
I absolutely love that part. But other than that, the films are garbage. But Tom Hardy, like...
I have no idea what
they can't see, but Amber and I are looking at each other on the screens, and we have a connection right now with the Tom Hardy. We're nodding. God.
Mm-hmm. Oh God. It's a question of the day. Is Tom Hardy a daddy?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so rhetorical. Dempsey.
Yeah. Like,
all right. Anyway. Shame on you. Anyway, one final bit of Marvel news. Sony, please don't screw up Kraven. Very badass character.
I'm sorry. Yeah, before we move on from Sony, did you see, I didn't report on it because I didn't think it was true, but more websites are picking up on it that Kevin Feige is apparently producing Madam Web.
I did see that. Yeah, I was actually going to say, I checked the Kraven the Hunter film details. I was like, I'm pretty sure Kevin Feige's producing one of these new films. So it must be Matt. He's not producing Kraven, but he is producing Madam Web. So a lot of people are expecting it's going to be good. But isn't it written by the same people who wrote Morbius as well?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
I believe so.
Or are they doing the... No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I was thinking maybe they were doing the wrestling one. But I think you're right.
Oh, El Muerto?
Yeah. Random film ever announced.
Max, I forgot that even existed.
Oh, it's... I don't think it's going to happen. I think it was just one of those... You know when studios announce all these projects way in advance and then these movies never get done? Like Ava DuVernay's Titan movie that was supposed to come out. So I think that's literally all that is. Yeah. So this literally the same guys who wrote Morbius are writing Madam Web, but they also wrote, oh no, this is irredeemable. They wrote Dracula Untold, The Last Witch Hunter, The Low Battery. I don't know if you can hear that, but no, I'm just kidding. The Gods of Egypt, Power Rangers, which is probably the best film on here, which they didn't even contribute to. They just contributed to like the story it's listed here, and Morbius.
And worse and worse. But then you said Power Rangers.
Little glimmer of hope.
But the only story.
And then it's like,
These are the guys. So I think that because of, from my perspective, I think that because people know about all the flack that Morbius is getting, to see that the same writers are contributing, maybe Kevin Feige attaching himself to the project to entice people in some way, shape, or form that it's probably going to be good. But I don't think that's...
He's probably just like consulting, and because of that, they've had to give him an executive producer credit.
Yeah, or maybe he's finally figuring... Maybe Madam Web will be the one, because I know Madam Web has like a lot of supernatural stuff. Maybe that'll be the way they kind of bridge the gap between the two universes. Maybe, possibly. I don't know. Truthfully, I don't care. I'm loving the cast. Don't get me wrong. I think that if there's one thing I will say about all these Sony projects is that the cast that they get for them is just like top tier. Tom Hardy, surprised that he would play Eddie Brock. But then you get other people in this like Riz Ahmed, Stephen Graham, right? Morbius, say what you will about Jared Leto, but like I was fascinated that Matt Smith would be appearing in this, as well as Adriana Arjona, and Madame Web, Dakota Johnson, Sydney Sweeney, Isabella Merced, like they're getting top tier talent for these movies. So the paycheck must be looking really good to get them on board. That's all I'm saying. So say what you will about the story, but I do think all the actors that are a part of this universe now are really good. But nevertheless, I think that's all shit talking about Sony today. Let's move on to one final piece of Marvel news, which is we now know that Agatha House of Harkness is going to shoot next week, next year. Oh my God. Imagine next year, it's going to happen in the beginning of, I believe, January all the way until May 2023. And that is without reshoots. Okay. So when it's all said and done, at the earliest we may see Agatha is like the end, the very ending of 2023, beginning of 2024. What do you guys think of that? Are you guys excited? It feels like such a long time away.
Yeah. I just find it a bit hard to be excited for like this show in particular. I don't care too much about, so I'm not too excited anyway, but I'm interested.
Yeah, like I don't know how much it's going to forward the MCU as a whole, but I loved Agatha Harkness more than I thought I would, and Catherine Hahn, like this character is what made me really develop that appreciation for her and go back and like watch all of her other movies and stuff and be like, holy crap, like she's starting to get her due and she's really, really good and deserved this for a long time. So for that reason alone, I'm excited for it, but it does just seem like we have so long to wait that I almost like I kind of forget that it exists. We have so much other Marvel stuff coming out, like literally She-Hulk comes out next month or in August, and I was like, holy crap, I forgot that's like a thing. There's just so much.
I agree with you, Amber. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it because I just saw Anchorman the other day and I was like, oh my God, that's Catherine Hahn is an Anchorman, a very small role, but still I'm like, wow, it took her this long to finally get like her due. And I also agree. I don't know how it's going to further the story. The only way I can imagine in my head is that she's going to find Wanda, or that whatever happened to Wanda is going to perhaps break. What if Wanda did die, right? Maybe that breaks the curse over Agatha. I don't know. I just feel like there's that dynamic is left to be explored. And I think that even if Wanda's still alive, this will be the way to bring her back into the fold. But regardless, it's filming next year, but that's not the only piece of news we have on it. So according to Daniel Rickman, Daniel RPK, whatever you want to call him, a very reliable industry insider, you probably have heard many of his or seen some of his scoops online. He says that currently the show is looking for a character who's going to be a gay teenager named Tyler. Now, if it were any other series, I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. You know, they're you know, keeping up with the constant diversity, expanding diversity in the MCU. But for some reason, this character sounds really similar to a very well-known LGBTQ character in the Marvel comics, who also happens to be Wanda's son, or one of Wanda's sons, named Billy. There is a belief, and even Daniel wrote this, he said that the character is a code name for Billy. Do you think that's possible, or do you think this is a wholly original character altogether?
No, I think it's Billy. I think it makes the most sense, especially if we don't know what happened to Wanda or something like that. If instead of Wanda kind of teaching Billy about his powers and all that kind of stuff, he ends up learning from Agatha and Agatha is his mentor, like rather than his mom. And that way she has someone to teach in the MCU rather than like, you know, helping Wanda on her journey. She helps Billy on his.
The only thing I will have to say about this is that, so in the comics, Billy is gay. I believe he's the one that has the relationship with Hulkling. Yes. Has yet to be introduced. Yes. And Tommy is bisexual. But he's had relationships with a bunch of male and female characters. Where's Tommy? That's the big question. So we know that the kids can age themselves up. So if this is Billy, what happens to Tommy? And how do they make their way back to the MCU? That is the, those are the questions. So I don't know. This is an interesting thing that I think we should all think about. Jordan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. I didn't know about this gay character at all, was going to be in it. I do hope it's Billy though, because that means we can get Hulkling and then we can get like Young Avengers. And I would want them to be a part of the Young Avengers because they're part of the, I want to say the 2014 run of Young Avengers, which is the best comic, the best Young Avengers series I've read. And I kind of hope they pull from that if they're going to do anything Young Avengers. But that's why I'm excited. But is the show a limited series or is it like a proper ongoing show?
I think it's going to be another limited series.
I think all the Marvel shows I think all the Marvel shows are just going to kind of start out as that, and then
depending on how good
most of them, like, yep, open ended or whatever, to see whether there's going to be a season two or not. They just got to get past the 6 episodes, man. 6 is not enough. How are we halfway through Ms. Marvel already? Like, it doesn't work.
It's just not started. That it's not enough. It's the pacing is off. It's like it either starts off too slow or too quickly. And then by the time like you really get into it, or that they finally introduce all these characters or like the main plot points, it's either too late or too early. Like too late and then it's over, or too early and then it drags on a bit. It's so annoying. And honestly, I felt it with Obi-Wan. I feel like it actually hit its stride pretty early on and then it dragged a bit. And at the end, it kind of was like, oh shit, all right, here's Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, fight, go.
I don't understand how the Star Wars shows can have such few amount of episodes, but so much filler.
I agree. I totally agree with that sentiment, man. It makes no sense.
Well, that's half of Obi-Wan.
It is half of Obi-Wan. It's like it has like there are so many interesting ideas and the wrong ones are explored, or you know, like we did I think I said this before, we were talking about episode 2. I loved like the John Wick aesthetic for like being on a planet and like with all these bounty hunters and not knowing who's who. But then we have like a 5-minute chase scene on a roof. And then we get introduced to this character who's like a scammer. I started going vague because I realized Amber has not seen it yet. Once again,
it's fine. I literally know everything that happens. I've been on Wikipedia. I can't help it. I went on Wikipedia for this one because I knew I wasn't going to be watching it for a while. So I'm fully aware of all that occurs. And I've been on Tumblr and seen GIFs that almost made me cry. So it's fine.
Did you hear about the part where Chewbacca like dies? I'm kidding.
I was like, what are you talking about, dude?
That wasn't on Tumblr. No, no.
No, that was one of the worst gags of whatever the frick. Yeah. Oh, Rise of Skywalker. There we go.
Yeah.
They got to really condense these names, man. Just go back to episode 1, you know, just give us numbers. Okay. And it was also really confusing to have this be like 6 episodes and then like the last one's just episode 6. Like episode 6 of Obi-Wan, but there's like 9 episodes. Whatever. We're done talking about Lucasfilm. Bottom line, Agatha, House of Harkness. We're going to get it a lot sooner than we expected. Psych, it's going to be a lot later than we expected. It's coming in what might seem at least a year and a half or 2 years away. And we may be getting an expansion on the Young Avengers. Who knows? We will continue to follow the story. But I'm excited to see that they're casting now, because that means we're going to get a lot more information on this sooner than later, hopefully at D23. And that leads us to our next story, which is back to being just Disney-centric. Disney Plus is going to be releasing 3 books on the live-action Little Mermaid. What do you guys think of this? This is not the first time they've done promos like this, right?
They do it for like every film, don't they? And I never read them.
No, I was like, ooh, okay. And I read this like the synopsis of the books and I was like, wait a second, I don't care.
Yeah, I think we're out of the target audience for this.
But mm-hmm. here's the interesting thing with all these. You can throw them away. You can pay as little attention to them as possible, but they offer some very interesting details about the film, right? I believe in the books, we are going to get some names of her sisters. Or it's believed that 3 of the names are going to be referenced referencing her sister. So like there's going to be a name of a character named Karina, Perla, Mala, that correspond to like the Scandinavian Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, the Indian Sea. Very interesting here. Very interesting.
That's a cool take. I like that. That'd be pretty sick if they do that for each of his kids.
I remember when I think Spider-Man, No Way Home had like a couple of books that came out prior, like children's books, but they actually had like the synopsis of the movie before like people actually knew what the synopsis was going to be. So this is cool. Some playful stuff for people who are a big fan of the lore, who cannot wait until next May if they want to check it out. And also confirmed by Halle Bailey, we will be getting our first look at The Little Mermaid officially at D23. So, I mean, we kind of knew, but we didn't, but we now know. Definitely a first trailer. I am betting all my shillings on that, or my thingamajigs, whatever you want to call them. Definitely betting all
of them. Thingamabobs.
Thingamabobs. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited. Cannot wait to see what that looks like. But I digress, and this bit of news, thank you so much, Amber, for pointing it out. The Lion King, we're getting, I know some cool stuff about The Lion King that I cannot say, this kind of points to what I've seen, rather. Not what I know, but what I've seen. Do you want to
share? Dempsey, are you holding back on me?
No, we'll talk about it after we hit the record button.
I'm like, excuse me. This is my life's blood. If you guys could see the video right now, like the second we bring up Lion King, I'm just like a whole other person. I sat up on my couch. I was laying down. I'm sitting up now. Like my eyes are wide open.
So what is the news that we have this week for Lion King, Amber? Talk to me.
Okay, so the news that we have for Lion King, I don't know what the name of this upcoming prequel, sequel, Godfather Part 2 style film is, but we do know that we have a composer, and it is not Hans Zimmer, which was a little bit surprising. It is a composer named Nicholas Britell, who worked on Cruella, which the music in that was pretty awesome, so that already excites me. And he's doing Andor, which I've heard nothing but good things about, which is surprising because who asked for that? But he's going to be doing the score and everything for the new Lion King movie. And it's he's worked with Barry Jenkins before on Moonlight and If Beale Street Could Talk. And so now I need to go back and watch those movies and see how the music is in that. But if I remember incorrectly, all of the score was just beautiful and moving and poignant. So I am very excited to see what kind of epic just soundtrack that he brings to this, especially the music of Africa is so rich and there's a lot that can be explored. And I'm really excited. And I'm low-key a little happy that Hans Zimmer is not doing this, because I heard that he was the reason why Beyoncé's spirit got into the movie rather than just being in the credits. And that totally ruined the whole momentum of that scene and everything. So I'm very glad that he's going to be, Hans Zimmer gets a little bit of a backseat here, because I don't want him making decisions anymore.
Yeah, he's got his Oscar. He's got his other Oscar anyway.
Yeah, so he can step down. I'm excited for this change.
Shout out to Nicholas Britell, who's from New York, and I can personally vouch, because the score from both Moonlight and If Beale Street Could Talk are like two of my favorite scores in recent, like the last decade, I would say. Very excited, and I know he is a white guy, so I know that there will be people out there like, oh no, you know, this is from the plains of Africa, this needs to be a little bit more multicultural. Let me just tell you, okay,
Hans Zimmer's a white guy.
Hans Zimmer's exactly, right? And also, if you do not, the music has no color, okay, because I have seen some debates online about this, but I just want to say the guy who did the music for Black Panther, who won an Oscar for the music for Black Panther, was also a white guy. Look how that turned out. It was phenomenal.
I did not know that that was like discord. I knew that for the voice actors, people said they were going to be very upset if they didn't cast people of color. At the same time, I'm like, you're voicing an animated creature that, yes, does happen to hail from Africa, but it does not matter. I can get into that conversation.
Yeah, no, but but no, I totally get that, and I'm just excited that the music's gonna be good.
Yeah, and I'm just excited to have more news in general on this, because I hadn't heard anything else, and I have an inkling as to when I think the movie is coming out, but we still don't know that yet. All we know is that the working title is called Wonderwall, and I have been listening to that song over and over and over again, trying to see if I can think of any, see if there's any, from the song that I can connect. I think it's
kind of obvious what the title might be.
Well, what do you mean? Like the title of the film itself?
I think so. When I say it, and this is total rumor, absolute speculation, 1,000%. Okay, I do not know the title.
Can I guess?
Yeah. What do you think the title of the movie will be?
The Lion Prince?
No.
Oh,
that's a good guess. The Rise of Scar.
That is a good guess. That is a good guess. I would say Pride Rock. No.
Yeah. When you said obvious, I immediately thought Lion King Prince.
Call it like Pride or something. I don't know.
I don't I just think that would be an acceptable and kind of obvious name, don't you think? That to me has always been like, oh, okay. The Lion Prince is another one that I would think is kind of obvious, but obviously I didn't think of it. But that would work in this instance. Or the Lion Princes. Right? Yeah. Would we see their father in this?
I hope so. I just want all that rich backstory. Like, I don't care if anybody asked for it. I want it simply because it's Lion King.
No, and you saying Wonderwall just is like, okay, it's a place. So what, or it's alluding to like a place. So the first place I think of when I think the Lion King is Pride Rock. So.
I don't know. Like, I've been listening to the song, and it was, you know, talking about like, you're going to be the one that saves me and everything. And I keep thinking there's going to be some weird love triangle with Scar and Sarabia and Mufasa. And I don't know. I'm down for all of it. I don't care what the heck it is. I just want it.
I'm excited. I'm interested to know how he befriended the hyenas. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'd be interesting to see how that started.
Yeah. So, all right. A little bit of Lion King action for you guys. Once again, I know for a fact that we are going to get more news in the coming months, definitely at D23, but that's all we can say for now. Stay tuned. We will continue to cover it as news breaks. Now, this little tidbit, we're going to take a break from Disney stuff real fast. I want to talk about this thing I saw at 20th Century, just because I still cannot shake it. I saw the Black Phone, right?
Oh.
In theaters again. And the trailers for it, the trailers in front of it were actually really good. Except for this one featuring the actress who plays, what's the actress from Game of Thrones with the short hair? She was Khaleesi's, right-hand woman. Natalie
Emmanuel.
Natalie Emmanuel. Yes.
Yeah. She's movie, in, Fast and Furious.
A movie too. Coming out with her. This is unrelated to what I actually want to talk about, but this, it's kind of related, but unrelated. Movie coming out with her. I think the movie's called The Invitation. The trailer tells you everything that's going to happen in the movie. Everything. I've not seen a trailer as revealing as that in a very long time. Unless the movie is not about what it is, but I'm 90% sure that the movie, it kind of alludes to what's going to happen, and then it shows you what's going to happen, and then it continues to show you what's going to happen. But anyway, it was one of the trailers that I saw before the movie, but then I saw another one. This one was online this week that I didn't get a chance to see, but I saw it in front of the Black Phone, Barbarian. Have you guys heard of this one?
No, I have not.
Two words. Airbnb horror.
Oh no.
No. Yes. Okay, I don't need more stuff like The Strangers and
No.
Stranger Calls.
This one looks crazy. This one looks crazy. It's like supernatural shit. Like crazy. I could not believe it. So the trailer opens, and you guys can check out the trailer. It's coming from 20th Century Studios. That's the only reason why we're bringing it up, because, you know, Disney owns them now. Trailer opens with some lady seemingly in the middle of nowhere knocking on a door, and it's raining. And Bill Skarsgård, who played Pennywise in It, opens the door, And I'm like, oh my God, he's going to kill her. This guy has done nothing but menacing characters. He's going to murder this woman. And then it turns out that they both booked the B&B for the same time. And she goes in and they're like, oh, we got to figure this out. I'm going to contact the owners. They call the owners. Nobody answers. My guess is like, oh my God, he killed the owners. Guys, the trailer takes a crazy turn. That's all I'm going to say. Watch the trailer. This movie looks insane. It comes out in August. It has jumped to the top of my list for like horror movies in the next few months. And yeah.
What so how was the Black Phone? Because Chris really wants to see it and I want to see it, but I have no tolerance for jump scare thriller type of movies. I get so paranoid. I'm like the only person screaming in the theater, ruining it for everyone else.
So I will say what I saw online. I saw somebody else say this. I don't remember your name. I'm sorry. But it perfectly describes it. It earns its jump scares. You are not just going to see like a ghost pop out of nowhere for no reason.
But like I might pee my pants kind of thing.
There is another film critic who I will shout out, Zach Pope, who I saw this happen in real time. He tweeted about the movie. He said during one of the silent scenes, somebody, you can audibly hear somebody fart. And he says, I'm pretty sure somebody shit their pants and they left the theater and they did not return for the duration of the movie. And,
oh my God.
And the writer, the guy who wrote the short story that Black Phone is based on, saw it, quote tweeted it, and said he tagged Blumhouse. He was like, we need this in all the marketing material. And then it was put on marketing material. Like I saw all this happen
over the past week.
It is great. And I think it sums up the film pretty well. It is really good. Ethan Hawke is great. I think he's on a roll, especially coming after Moon Knight and doing this. Probably Scott Derrickson's best film.
But it's scary.
It's more of a thriller. But
that's what I can't handle is more like that. I know something's gonna happen and I'm waiting for it to happen.
It's so good. Like the trailer does not do justice.
I have to take him, but I'm so nervous.
The last 10 minutes had me like, oh, it's so good. Yes, okay. Watch it. Okay. Scott Derrickson is the
man. I'll double feature it with Lightyear.
I actually spoke to Scott Derrickson about the film because it premiered at Tribeca like 2 weeks ago, and I covered Tribeca for my job, and I was like, this is a long shot. He's probably not going to speak to me. He had just, funny enough, I think he got married the same weekend as you, Amber, because he had just come off his honeymoon.
Wow. And
he spoke to me. Yeah. I'll send the link your way if you guys want to listen to it, but he's a really nice guy. And apparently it's based on his experiences. I don't think he got kidnapped as a kid, but it's based on like what growing up in Denver was like, and he tried to capture the aesthetic, and it really does feel like you're a kid growing up in that time era. It was very, very well done. But we're not blasphemous here. We got to talk about Disney. No, I'm kidding. Go see the Black Phone, guys. It's great.
If it's as good as you say it is, I'm really excited now.
Oh yeah, it's sick. Easily one of my favorite films of like the first half of 2022.
Okay, I'm very
there were a lot of qualifiers at the end of that, but it still sounds very good.
I'm very skeptical with horror films, especially because I went to go see a play in London years ago with my dad called Ghost Stories, and they advertise it as being like the world's scariest play. And when you walk in, they say they're like, keep the secrets, and they have a sign on the wall saying however many people have seen the play and not spilled the secrets. And we went to see it, and it was like the worst fucking thing I've ever seen.
Did that into a movie? I remember.
Yeah, and I don't know why I bothered to watch that, and I was just angry all over again.
Oh my God.
It's like a vignette, four different stories, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, and can I spoil the ending for you?
No, I want to see it. I've been dying to see the movie. Please do not spoil it for me.
Okay.
Message me, Jordan, though, because I want to know. So message me on Slack.
I heard some really good things about the movie. So we got to go back on topic. All right. Long story short, go see the Barbarian trailer. It looks really good. Go see the Black Phone. Scott Derrickson can do no wrong. I really do hope they bring him back for Doctor Strange in some or the MCU in any capacity, because this guy is a really effective director. And see Robert Cargill, his writing partner. So good. Those guys are so good. We're going to shift back. We're going to take a hard right back to Disney. We're going to go from the Black Phone to Frozen 3. Okay. The best segue in the world. This week, Kristen Bell officially announced Frozen 3 with quote-unquote zero authority. She appeared on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and he asked the question as to whether or not there will be a third entry. And she said, Kristen Bell, I would like to officially announce Frozen 3 with zero authority, as I just said. So, yeah, so Frozen 3 is happening, guys. Is this surprising to anybody?
No, and it's probably true as well.
And of course, yeah. Of course. I'm pretty sure.
I just don't need more Frozen. I no.
Hate Frozen.
I'm so freaking over it. And there's no other stories that I think need to be told in this universe. Like, I feel like they had a hard enough time finding the story for Frozen 2. That should have been enough of a been like, okay, it was hell to get this movie made. I don't think we should touch this property anymore. It doesn't matter how much money it makes. At some point, people are going to recognize that Frozen 2 is a bad movie, and they're going to turn, and they're going to turn hard.
I liked Frozen 2 better than Frozen.
Frozen is way better than Frozen 2.
I didn't like either films, but I did prefer Frozen 2.
Yeah.
I'm what? Sorry. How? Yeah. How? With Kristoff's whole stupid, like,
90s throwback?
Out of yes. nowhere deciding that because Anna is, like, not paying him a little bit of attention because Elsa's obviously going through something, he's like, that must mean she doesn't want to be with me, and now I need to sing a whole song about how we're not going to be together anymore. What?
Which character is this?
Kristoff, like, when he's,
oh,
you know...
Oh, I liked Hans. Hans was hot.
Like, oh my god. I can't.
I did not like, and I remember, because I think I did a video for this on my YouTube channel about, like, how Frozen is so overrated, but how Frozen 2 did, the kind of copied off of The Rise of Skywalker, which is, like, the second time we've referenced this movie today. But
we talk about it more often than we think.
Then we should. Listen back. that Kristoff, he tried to pop the question. He's like, I guess I'm going to tell you, Anna, right? And it didn't Finn do the same thing to Rey in The Rise of Skywalker? And it wasn't...
Oh, yeah. And you never really got a resolution
for it, though. And this, yeah. I think in Frozen 2, we do. But
she should have got with Hans in the first one. I know it's evil, but, like, she'd just marry him. It'd be fine. They share it.
Oh my god.
So I don't know. Like I said, I enjoyed part two. At the rate they're going, I think I might actually really enjoy Frozen 3. I went from not liking the first one to somewhat liking the second one.
The only Frozen related material I need is I need more Olaf's short stories of retelling all the Disney
movies.
I love
those.
Because those are freaking fire. They were
funny.
All good.
I'm such a hater. I hate everything about Frozen, including the snowman. I'm sorry.
No. Have you seen the little Olaf shorts? They're actually really good.
Yeah.
I could not bring
one
myself
of them in Frozen
to watch too. Them.
He does one of them in Frozen 2. He, like, tells the story of Frozen.
But I was asking Jordan if he's seen any of the as presented by ones.
No, I haven't. No, I couldn't
great.
Watch. I couldn't watch something like that. I'm sorry. Maybe I should give it a go, though. Is it? What is it? He's recreating, like, The Lion King. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, he does Aladdin, Tangled, Lion King, Moana, and Little Mermaid. And, oh, my God, the Moana one is probably the funniest.
Okay. I'll watch that one, then, because they're shorts, aren't they? They're not very
long.
Yeah,
the whole thing is, like, 11 minutes.
Better
for all of
I could sit through that. I thought they were, like, long for some reason.
Oh, God, no.
The 14
no.
I don't think I could sit through that.
Mm-mm.
So Amber thinks there's no way they can milk a story out of Frozen again. Jordan, where do you think they could take Frozen 3 if they did a Frozen 3?
I think they should jump the shark and have them interact with Ariel or Rapunzel.
Tarzan.
Who?
No, I don't like that whole Tarzan is actually their
oh,
brother.
Tarzan.
Wasn't that confirmed? That was confirmed.
But it doesn't even make sense. I don't like it. Sorry. I don't like it. They don't look anything alike. That's not... You can see Tarzan's parents and their parents are obviously very different people.
Tarzan's dad's Watch face is movies. Just his face, right?
Yes. It was from that era of Disney movies where the kids look exactly like one of their parents.
I agree. I do think that they should jump the shark if they do it. But I would like to see them do, instead of make it a Frozen 3, but also have it be a Tangled 2.
Yes, that would be fun. because they're like cousins or whatever or something.
They're connected somehow. We think
They're in Europe. They're probably, I don't know, where's Frozen is Arendelle. So I suppose they could.
Arendelle's like, supposed to be like a Norway, like Norway kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I think
Rapunzel's German.
Yeah.
Arendelle's not real, so I suppose maybe they could like jiggle around with the map. But when you whispered Tarzan, I thought you said Roseanne.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I would pay.
Like, ew. Okay. Oh my god.
Name a price, I would pay it to see Roseanne in the Frozen universe.
That might be one of the most awful things I've ever heard.
She plays their mum or something. They've already had her mum, right?
Would fight one of the
Rachel
rock.
Wood.
Oh yeah.
Rock people.
All right. Final story of the day, and this is probably the best segue we've had all episode, okay? From Frozen to the Santa Claus Ziz, which is going to
be both wintry.
Yes.
Good job.
And I'm so glad we got our first look at it finally, and this supports everything I've been saying since the beginning, that the show is coming out this year. This thing has been fast-tracked to the max. So we got our first look at the cast. We got to see Cal Penn along the likes of Tim Allen and Elizabeth Mitchell. Couple of things about this that I'm kind of like iffy on, right? So the Santa Clauses, which is the official name of the show, right? We reported it was going to be the Clauses. We were off by one word. No big deal. Sue us. Not really. Don't sue us. But anyway, Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus have kids.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had a kid at the end of the third one.
Yeah, but I thought that was just, like, for, like, story, right? I thought, I don't know.
Well, yeah, but then, I mean, if they want to continue it, they have to include their son. And then, obviously, I guess now they have a daughter as well. But
Charlie's missing.
But that's because he's from the previous family. I hope that he makes a cameo.
That's true evil stepmother mentality, that is.
No, seriously, because then it could be like, well, especially if he's training, like, or if he wanted his son to, like, Buddy or whatever the heck his name was, to be the next Santa Claus. But it's like, okay, well, you have Charlie, who so obviously wanted, like, when he was a kid, at the end of the first one, he's like, I'm going to go in the family business.
That's what I was going to say. You guys took the words out of my mouth. I love the first look. I think it's very cutesy. I will give it to it. But
there's no Bernard, so I'm already, like, a little miffed.
Number one on my list. Where is Bernard? Bring back David Crummelt.
Let's age him down like 35 years.
Use the de-aging technology from all these movies. The Tron Legacy. Bring David Crummelt down a couple of years. I would also love to see him as an old cranky elf. I don't care. # bring back David Crummelt. Yeah, his son looks of age here. Why couldn't he just train his son to be Santa Claus? Is that a clause, perhaps? Ha. Huh.
Oh, yeah. Ah.
Maybe.
I think it'll be interesting. Whatever happens.
I think Santa has to be like the product of Mrs. Claus and Mr. Claus.
Or
murder Santa, like in the first film.
Why didn't Santa have a kid before?
He might have, but we don't know anything about that previous Santa, which is like, I'd be more interested in that. Like, what the heck happened to that, you know, like after he was murdered by Scott, did he like revert? Did it like go back in time? And then it was, so it's like he gets to live out his normal life as if he was never Santa Claus, or what happens to his Mrs. Claus? Because he probably had one, or I have no idea what kind of weird timey-wimey paradox things happen.
How does he give back? How does he give Santa Claus up without dying is what I want to know, right?
Yeah, I have no clue.
All right, so Disney, also, if you're listening, give us an Obi-Wan Kenobi type prequel where we see Santa Claus's last days leading up to when he gets murdered by Tim Allen. That would be awesome. That would be great. Not really, honestly. There are obvious plot holes in this franchise, but it's all good. It's all fun. It looks cute. I'm going to watch it regardless.
And for all you right-wing Disney people, Tim Allen's back, so y'all can be quiet now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Light year.
It's not Chris Evans.
It's not Chris Evans.
This series kind of reminds me of Noel, because it's kind of the same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I could see it. I could totally see it. I cannot, like, not imagine like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I was going to say, like, I feel like I would not put it past Disney if they made, like, a multiverse film with, like, these kind of characters and Noelle.
Oh, my gosh.
Kind of like Netflix's Christmas universe where they're all set in the same universe.
Yeah. I just feel like I get scared because I feel like that's something Disney would do one day when they run out of ideas, right? Like, when they start rebooting Pixar movies into live-action movies, that's when you know. That, or when they start remaking all of their Disney fairy tales into remaking. Yeah.
You know what's weird? I'm looking at, like, the synopsis for the show right now, and it says, like, that Cal Penn's character visits the North Pole. Is that, like, is it going to be, like, a tourist attraction kind of thing? Like, how Jack Frost did it in Santa Claus 3? Because why else would this man be going to the North Pole?
Oh, I hope not. Oh, because that was the worst one. And I hated that it was a tourist attraction.
I don't see any, like, this guy, he's a single father, game inventor, and product developer. Why is he going to the North Pole in the first place?
Yeah, it looks conflicting because they also say that Scott Calvin has to look for a replacement.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Maybe the kids don't want to be Santa, or maybe that guy's son falls into Santa's sleigh and then hijinks ensue and they get taken to the North Pole.
I don't know.
We're all just here speculating, like,
yeah, we're just making plot lines.
Fan theories about Santa
Claus. We're giving season 2, season 3 as we speak.
So then if they're like...
Hmm. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, so if they're really ramping up and production on this, and we think that it might come out this Christmas, do we think we're going to get a first look, like an actual trailer at D23 this year?
Sooner.
I reckon.
Much
sooner?
Like, if we got a cast photo like this, I would not... I already know. I ruined it for myself because I just have that kind of brain. We're going to get some corny, cheesy Christmas in July kind of thing from Disney.
Oh my god, yeah. I forgot Christmas in July is a thing. Yep, yeah. Okay.
That's exactly what's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, you guys can hold me accountable, but I swear on everything, that's what Disney's going to do. We know it. We all know it.
How do you feel about it being a series? Because I think it should have just been a fourth movie.
Nah, it works as a series. Will it be 6 episodes, though? Do we see anything about 6 episodes? I don't see it.
No. Episodes. Can you imagine it's like a normal, like, 22 episode?
It's
like...
actual season? Wow. That'd be great.
See, over here, 6 used to be the norm until it was pushed up to, like, 8 to 13. But when I was a teenager, like, sitcoms would all have, like, 6 to 8 episodes.
That's insane.
But it's all changed. It's all reversed. Now we get longer seasons, and in America, you get shorter seasons.
Yeah, well, because, like, if you watch stuff on TV like Grey's Anatomy, there's, like, 22 episodes per season.
Yeah. And, like, once upon a time, I really thought suffered from having too many episodes. Because, like, half their seasons were filmed.
They ran out of ideas so quickly.
Yeah, after season 1.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's our show, honestly. I'm just... Bring back David Krumholtz. That's where I'm at. I guess we'll be back next week. It's 4th of July coming up in America. I don't know if that's what it's...
I don't feel like celebrating 4th of July this year.
Oh, hell no. Hell, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will take the day
I'm
off,
over it.
But I'm not celebrating. And if I do fireworks, it's going to be totally different for a totally different reason.
Just because they're fun and pretty.
Just because...
Just do them on the 5th or the 3rd.
Smart man. But no, that's our show. As always, I'm editor-in-chief Dempsey Pilott and co-host with my other two lovely co-hosts. You guys want to shout yourselves out?
I'm Amber.
And Jordan.
And Jordan. We'll be back next week with tons more news, as always. And thank you guys so much for listening. And yeah, see you next time.